I suppose that if there is any section in the prophecy of Ezekiel that is familiar, it's now these two chapters that we're going to look at, chapters 38 and 39. Now, I'm going to attempt to handle them just a little bit differently than we generally do, because I'm anxious here to lift out certain great truths for us. And I think that that will probably be the best way to get a hold of the truth that is here. Now, these two chapters, unfortunately, have been interpreted by men who apparently have no knowledge of the prophecy of Ezekiel and what goes with it. And as a result, they come up with some of the oddest interpretations of it that I think I've ever heard. And therefore, that's the reason we're dealing with this as we are. In this connection, I always think of the advertisement that was put in the Minds magazine over in El Paso, Texas, by a few fellows over there. They were mining experts and engineers, and they published an ad in that paper over there, and they published it, as has been said, deadpan, as if it's very serious. Will you listen to this? Wanted man to work on nuclear fissionable isotope molecular reactive counters and three-phase cyclotronic uranium photosynthesizers. No experience necessary. And may I say to you, I feel about these two chapters as I do about this ad. It's rather humorous, unless you've studied all of Ezekiel, to come to this chapter. Now, we saw in the last chapter that God has a purpose for the nation Israel, and he has a very definite purpose for the nation Israel in the future. And in connection with that, these two chapters go, because they tell about the last enemy that will come down against them in the last days. And we can, of course, take that over there of the Valley of the Dead Bones, and we can certainly make an application of it. This world that you and I live in today is a death valley. Dead bones, dead people, if you please. Oh, they talk about that they are alive and that they are really the ones where the action is, but they're dead in trespasses and sins and no spiritual life. And that's the reason that they have to have a drink or two or take a dope, or they've got to do something to liven up the old corpse, you see. Now, God has made it very clear. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. That is, he's dead. And there are two kinds of people, live people and dead people. Or, as we say in Los Angeles, the quick and the dead. And if you're not quick here, you're going to be dead because of the traffic condition. But he also says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. That means he's dead. Now, God is saying to you today, if you're not a Christian, he's saying, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You can come alive. It has that application. But let's be sure we're talking about the nation Israel. Now, I believe in chapters 38 and 39, the enemy that's mentioned here is Russia. I want to also add that when I entered the ministry, I did not believe that it referred to Russia. I refused to accept that interpretation. I had been to a seminary that taught amillennialism, my denominational seminary, and I would not accept it. And even after I worked for my doctor's degree, I did not accept it, even at the time of my graduation. But I came to the conclusion I better study this on my own. And I have come up with this interpretation, and there are three points of contact that make me know in my own heart and mind that we're talking about Russia. You have here what is known as the linguistic phenomenon. You have the second, the geographical phenomenon, and the philosophical phenomenon.